This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef. And how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumhi ekte The Fifth Floor farnak amidi sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. Bollywood is one of the largest film industries worldwide. It produces over 1,000 titles a year. It has a cult-like following around the world and millions of viewers from China to Africa and the U.S. But in recent years, revenues have plummeted, and people in the film industry are trying different strategies to bring people back to the theaters. So in this episode of The Fifth Floor, I've got three journalists and Bollywood enthusiasts here with me to talk about the latest Bollywood trends. They are Meryl Sebastian, who's a journalist in Delhi, and Yasser Usman. He's a film journalist and author of four biographies on legends of Bollywood, and he's in the studio with me, alongside Shoaib Sharifi, who's an editor at BBC Afghan Service. So I'm going to start by asking you what your favorite Bollywood movie is. And I'm going to start with you, Yasser.
I think I would go with Satya. It's a hardcore gangster movie. And why I loved it was because it is not as if that I know gangsters or they are my friends or I've seen that kind of life. But everyone in that film, they all seemed very relatable.
Shoaib, what about you?
Well, I would say I have two. One is a collection of Bollywood romance movies for the listeners to understand, the Romeo and Juliet type of Bollywood movies. One is the Leila Majnun, which I think was made before the 80s. And I must have watched Leila Majnun for maybe 30 times, 40 times. My mother loved it, and I inherited from my mother. And you wouldn't be surprised why my second movie is my most favorite movie. It's called Nayak. And Nayak, yeah. The central character is a journalist who interviews the chief minister, and the chief minister challenges him that, you know, asking questions is easy, but do you know how hard it is to run the country? Come and be the prime minister one day in my seat. He becomes the prime minister, and he changes the country. So
was he your hero when you...
So the journalists, you know, when we daydream and say, you know, one day I am not just a good journalist, but I can also be a leader of the country. That movie satisfied
fantasies
me.
Of journalists.
And Meryl, what about you? What's your favorite movie?
I think it's for me, and probably a lot of people in my generation, Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge, which came out in 1995. It's classic, you know, Bollywood rom-com, which has everything. It has drama, it has action, it has comedy, it has romance. Very nice songs that people still resonate with to this day. And because I'm from the southern part of the country, I'm from a state called Kerala, and we don't watch as many Hindi Bollywood films. This was one of those rare films that we actually went out to watch in the theaters. I remember watching it at least twice in the theaters. And very strong memories of watching it with cousins my age and coming back to it several times over the decades and finding maybe things that I had initially liked that I don't like anymore, but discovering other parts of it that, funnily enough, seem to resonate still. So I think, yeah, that is one of the movies that I have constantly come back to over the years.
And just for some of our listeners that might not know, because Bollywood is the Hindi industry, but there are different languages. Yeah, so different in Kerala, the industry is different. And that's what Meryl was pointing out. And Meryl, what do these movies mean for people in India?
I think they're kind of the backdrop of our lives, because I often think about how it's the soundtrack of these movies that we listen to and grow up listening to and then pick our favorite musicians from. We don't have a huge pop music culture, so it's the films and their music that kind of shapes our taste in music. Also, I think they're a huge part of, going out and watching something with groups of people, especially your family. And it's one of those few, I think, entertainment outlets that we have.
And Yasser, what about you? Because you moved to UK, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
What do these movies mean to the Indian diaspora?
You know, I am at such a fascinating cusp, Farhanak, because all my life I was in India, obsessed with Bollywood, Hindi cinema. And then I came to London and I met Bollywood enthusiasts who are the members of Diaspora. And they have such an emotional connect to Bollywood, which is 10 times higher if you compare it with an Indian enthusiast living in India. I think you can blame the good old nostalgia for that, because in their mind, the image of the homeland they have left is still based on the images seen in the Bollywood films. Mm. Like I met one senior gentleman and he told me that our village in Punjab was just like the village in Veer Zara, which is a Shah Rukh Khan film. Shah Rukh Khan is this biggest star in India. And I said, I told him, none of the villages in Punjab are like the village in Veer Zara. You know, you look at your past through rose-tinted glasses and it appears warmer than it actually is. I even met a few members of Gen Z. I was speaking at a literature festival and they were like, India is like this, India is like that. I said, how many times have you been to India? They said, we haven't been to India ever, but we know how it is. Mm. So this is their connect to, we know Shah Rukh Khan and we know Amir Khan and we know Akshay Kumar. That's what they're connected. It's very emotional, very innocent and very beautiful.
Yeah, that makes sense. For me as an Iranian, when I was in Iran, I didn't watch Iranian television series. I watch some of them right now because I miss Iran. So yeah, I want to see like the streets and like the buildings and all of those things that I haven't seen for 15 years. So I watch it and it actually makes, it's nostalgic. What about you, Shoaib? Because a lot of people might not know, but Bollywood is a big deal in Afghanistan.
Bollywood has been a big deal in Afghanistan for at least 4 decades since TV was out in Afghanistan. And it has been an absolute part of our lives and part of the running a country by the regime's lives. But we were fed one Bollywood a week. So only on Thursday evenings, we would have one Bollywood and we would have the whole week of a joy that, wow, Thursday's coming. So Thursday evening, we had one Bollywood and that was at the end of 6-hour TV broadcasting. And we would have had to listen, watch all those political speeches by the presidents and at the very end.
To get to the juicy part.
To get to the juicy part. Our parents would also, later when the VHS VCRs emerged, would have bribed us with Bollywood or could do this extra bit of work. We will rent a VHS. At the end of the week, we'll watch 2 Bollywood, but we have to work hard, reach this target and this amount of money. So that is how we grew up. And also, in a way, the Urdu or Hindi language was imposed on us by our parents. When my mother, we used to sit next to my mother watching Bollywood and didn't know what it said. So they had learned it when it used to be dubbed. And my mother used to say, well, watch and learn. That's not my problem. And all the way to London, now that we're watching Bollywood, so I have 3 kids, and we did the same thing, that, we want to watch with subtitles. And I said, no, we didn't learn Hindi with subtitles. And you'd be surprised that my daughter is now challenging my Hindi language knowledge. She hasn't been to any Hindi school. But one thing that you also pointed to the heroes, in Afghanistan somehow, because of turbulent 4 decades of war, there's been more villain inspirational characters, particularly early 2000, where anybody who would have a terrorism character. A terrorist would have been somebody, you know, X and Y have served in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So a terrorist character must have been either trained or is an Afghan connection, or if it is a drug lord or something, so that had an Afghan connection. So Amrish Puri,
Mogambo,
the character of Mogambo. Even so, it's very interesting because it's a male character, very, very villainish character, but. Women amongst themselves refer to a grumpy grandma as Amrish Puri. Oh, you know, she's such an Amrish Puri. That means referring that it's no compromise. You have to deal with her. And
it's become symbolic.
Yeah.
What's the impact of pop culture Bollywood?
Or Prem Chopra, for example, is more of a comedy character. And when a cunning character comes in, be careful. He's such a Prem Chopra.
Like, oh, my God. I didn't know
you
that.
You could be tricked.
That's amazing. So
he knows all the villains. Yeah, we don't talk about them. We talk about heroes.
Yeah, we're more of the villain. But there has been some attempts to repair that very villainish characters, super negative characters in the Bollywood that were referred to being in Afghanistan or being an Afghan. One of Khuda Gawah, sort of Indian cinema idol Amitabh Bachchan made his Khuda Gawah film, which is based on a story between connecting Afghanistan and India. The hero comes from Afghanistan, so that really kind of repaired a lot of damage, but that was in the 90s. And later now we see one of the most famous recent songs, Afghan Jalebi. Jalebi is referring to
the sweet
which shared in the whole of South Asia, Afghanistan, Pakistan and India. And the name of the song went really viral.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef. And how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Farhana Kamidi, and this episode of The Fifth Floor is all about Bollywood. I'm with BBC journalists and film fanatics Shoaib Sharifi, Yasser Usman, and Meryl Sebastian. Now, watching a movie in theatre in India, apparently, is an experience, isn't it?
So I'll give you two recent examples. I was in India when Shah Rukh Khan, he was making his comeback. So he made a huge film called Pathaan, and Pathaan became a huge hit. So I watched it in India, and it was one of the opening days. And I could see, and I expected it, people started dancing when the song, the title song, Jhume Jo Pathaan, came. And they actually started dancing, and it was like a festival. After a few months, another film was released, which became even a bigger blockbuster, Jawan. And this was a London theater in North London. I was sitting. It's a full house. And I'm waiting for the hall to erupt. Nothing happened. Pin drop silence. I wanted to shout. I couldn't because, you know, someone will complain it and the theater owner or manager will come and, you know, take me out of the theater. You know, I was used to, throughout my life, I was used to watching big films and hearing claps, whistles, and cheering. If Shah Rukh Khan will say, "Haar kar jeetne wale ko baazigar kehte hain," people will repeat it with him.
What does that mean?
It's like someone who wins after losing is the biggest winner.
So people will repeat those.
People
lines.
Will repeat that. In India, it is community viewing.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a festivity. I'm not talking about all the films.
But
that
the big
would
film.
Be cliche for all the big films.
Yeah.
I actually watched Jawan in the theater with my family, but the theater erupted. Every time Shah Rukh Khan was on the screen in the first 30 minutes, every time there was a song that emphasized his heroic character, the theater would just burst into applause and there were people dancing. You know, directors talk about how they know fans expect a certain kind of scene, they expect a certain kind of treatment given to the star's entry or the introduction when they come in the film. So even directors treat it like that because they know they're trying to evoke a certain kind of emotion within fans. And so it's very common for the whole audience to just erupt.
And Shoaib, what about the experience of watching Bollywood movies in Afghanistan?
As we speak, under the Taliban government in Afghanistan, all cinemas are closed down and it's banned and illegal. But on the days when cinemas were allowed, Dharmendra, which is a kind of idol Bollywood hero, would have standing ovation in his first appearance in cinema, and you would know it, and if not, you would have been like, why? And at times when the hero would emerge successful out of a fight, would have also been clapping, and yes, that's great, hit more! So there was a bit of another movie going on amongst the audience while the movie's on the screen.
That's incredible. I love this. So Meryl, let's talk about Bollywood nostalgia, because these days we are seeing that a lot of these Bollywood classics are being re-released on the silver screen.
Yeah, it's been happening, I think, since last year. But I think this year in particular, we've seen a lot of these older films get a new lease of life in theaters because I think because of lockdown and a lot of releases on streaming services, people across the country were no longer limited to just looking for the next Bollywood release. They began watching a lot of films from the other film industries in the country. And I think for several years now, Bollywood also has been kind of struggling with trying to understand exactly what the audience wants, because traditionally, even if it wasn't the best film, a well-made film with star in at the center of it would still work. But audiences are no longer willing to buy that. They want interesting stories. They want experimental stories. They are willing to give smaller films a chance if it tells a good story, if it tells them a kind of story that they've not seen before, they've not heard before. And then you have these older films that are coming back, that are running to packed theaters. Films that had probably, you know, were a blink and a miss when they first released and now suddenly running to full theaters.
And Meryl, have you been to the theater to rewatch any of these old movies yourself?
I actually went to watch this film called Tumbad, which had come out in 2018. That was a horror film, quite terrifying, but also really good. And I was surprised because I was watching it in my hometown, Kochi, in Kerala. And Hindi films traditionally are not a big draw for audiences there. But this was the middle of the week, a late night show, and the theater was full.
Meryl just talked about horror movies. And I know that the genre is quite popular these days in India.
Yeah.
So why is that? What is happening?
Meryl just talked about Tumbad, but before that, 2024 kicked off with Shaitan, which is Satan. It was a psychological horror film. It was followed by a movie called Munjia. Munjia was a mid-budget horror comedy. And then they re-released Tumbad, the film Meryl was talking about. Tumbad originally released in 2018. It did decent business and had a cult following. And Tumbad became a huge hit. It earned 50% more than its what it earned during its original release 6 years ago. That is the impact. It's a clear trend. I wrote this piece for BBC and I spoke to most of the filmmakers whose films became success in 2024. And like the common thing was that earlier in the 1980s, they used to make horror films. Those horror films were tacky. They were like B-grade, C-grade and not acceptable to the family. They also had sex scenes and the ghosts and witches were like tacky makeups and, you know, there were no special effects. What has changed now is they have made it more family friendly. So you can actually go and watch a horror comedy with your kids and your entire family and you'll not be embarrassed because there are, of course, scary scenes, but they're immediately followed by jokes and laughable scenes. So I think that's one thing. Also, earlier they used to, copy Western movies, most of the Hollywood horror films. Now, most of the films that have worked this year are either inspired by folk tales or Indian mythology and are based in small town India.
So what about you, Shoaib? What do you think about these trends?
Well, if I tell you what we now do for watching the old Indian movies, you would know what the trend is. So my brother lives 2 hours from London. He's in Birmingham. He drives 2 hours all the way to London twice a month, and we do the same. We drive 2 hours to Birmingham, literally just to sit together and watch an old Bollywood movie together from 80s, 90s, and early 2000s.
He's a diehard fan.
Yeah.
And the worst, we do it once and every 3 months.
That about
we go to Germany because my other brother's there, and the very first thing, dinner served, we wait until 11:30, and then we know what is in the agenda. We watched just last week. My brother had to drive down here to watch Zindagi Pyar Ka Geeta Hai.
Sotan.
Yeah, Sotan. The song Sotan, it means
the other woman.
Yeah, the other woman. And we talked and also laughed because at the end of this movie, my mother would cry for the one of the character, the other wife. Although my mother was not with us last week, but we watched it with my mother on a 14-inch TV back then, and this time we watched it on an 80-inch big screen with all sound quality, and we were like, wow, now we see it into today's, what you have, bigger screens at home. But this is how extreme we go in watching
the old Bollywood. So you are more into the old Bollywood movies.
Yes.
You're not into this new genre of horror and stuff like that.
I think,
old school.
Yeah, I'm sort of old school because I like the current horror, but the old Bollywood resonated a lot to the sort of South Asian daily life. We feel the new ones are a bit commercialized compared to a slow-paced story that you could absorb well.
Well, thank you all for sharing your love of Bollywood with me and our Fifth Floor listeners. Thanks to Meryl Sebastian, Yasser Usman, and Shoaib Sharifi. I'm Farhanak Hamidi. The Fifth Floor team this week was
Alicia Joya,
Caroline Ferguson,
and
Hannah Dean.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef, and how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.